Welcome back to another episode of Your Natural Best. I'm Dwayne. I have
Sarah Hobson.
Eric Shep.
I love it. Sarah's like, who are you pointing at? What is going on here?
We'll get it down sooner.
We'll get it down sooner later. Now, we'll get it together, man. One of these episodes. We're only like four or five in. It's fine. But no, man, super excited to be back with another episode. We'd like to kind of tackle some topics when it comes to fitness, when it comes to strength training. We have, you know, local professionals here in the studio with us. So we take advantage of the knowledge and experience. And we also want you guys to send in your topics, send in your questions, drop it in the comment section if you're on YouTube. We would love to talk through those and address those as well. So questions, topics, drop it in the comment section, and we'll definitely put together some episodes when it comes to that. So today's episode is actually inspired by the pen of Mr. Eric Shelton. Eric wrote a blog that is located on our premium website. If you go to our premium website, you can find this blog. But it's talking about the principles of progressive overload in training. And so, Eric, since you wrote the blog, man, I want you to kind of kick it off, man, kind of talk through it, you know, just why. I want the why first, why you write about it, and then we'll kind of, I'll let you kind of drive it, man. We'll kind of discuss some of the key points in that blog.
All right, well, I guess I got to drive today. Let me sit up now. But so the principle of progressive overload is probably one of the most used terms in personal training and fitness across all accounts, whether it's weight loss, fat loss, muscle gain, basically all levels. Principle of progressive overload will be for you, right? So the actual purpose of it is, I'm trying to think of an analogy, but in simple terms is, hey, if I go to the gym today and I can only lift 10 pounds, I will lift that 10 pounds for X amount of reps. Then maybe next week, and if I lifted it for 10 this week, can I lift it for 11 next week? And as you gradually keep adding reps or adding weight, you're gonna get stronger. And that's basically the principle of progressive overload. And I think that applies to basically, I guess, almost all aspects of our life, right? It's like, hey, I know I always talk about you podcasting, but it's like, hey, if I talk in front of a mic for 5 minutes and then I get to where I could do 30 minutes, that's the principle of progressive overload. Some people can't just jump in and do 60 minutes of a podcast or any conversation, but you built the reps, you built the repetition, and all of that helped you eventually get to where you are now.
Sounds good, man. Sounds good. So Sarah, Eric kind of gave us the overall principles of it, and I'm sure you apply it. So what is your experience with it? And you know, what is your opinion when it comes to progressive overload, and how do you apply it?
Yeah, really, it's essential. Progressive overload, it's non-negotiable. You should always be challenging yourself, no matter if it's cardio, weightlifting, any kind of workout you're doing. Increasing those reps, increasing the weight. You can play around with it. You can write your workouts out if you want, and then you have it with you. I've seen some people with a little notebook in the gym so they can kind of track. I'd say every workout you should be able to at least, you know, even if you're not quite ready to up that weight, at least, you know, do another rep or two. That way you're always getting a little bit stronger each time you're working out.
Yeah, no, I love that. The key thing that you said that I do a thing. This is an old podcast secret. When I think of something while somebody's talking, instead of interrupting them, I cross my fingers so I don't forget. So the key thing that you said that I think we really want to hone in on this episode is tracking. Tracking is super important because, again, if you're a novice to the gym, if you're just figuring things out, you know, you try your weight, you know, you don't know, you know. So write down, okay, this was easy, or this is a little tough, go up, go down. You can't progressive overload unless you have a base. Would I be correct in saying that, Mr. Blogger?
I think you're correct. I mean, and even with, you prepped underneath me, and you know, oh, yeah. Like, hey, I always say you should track your weights for multiple different reasons, right? We need to know when your strength declines, but also if you're getting stronger, then that means we're fueling your body the correct way. You're having enough food to go to the gym and progress weight daily. Of course, the later you get into prep, the less food, all those things, of course, will also go with you losing strength. But of course, tracking your strength and tracking all that stuff daily is essential.
Absolutely, yeah. And Sarah brought up the notebook. Sarah, you probably remember this. Eric's too young to remember this, but bodybuilder.com. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you used to print that joint out, print it out, take it to the gym. Eric, anything?
No? I know about bodybuilder.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I caught the articles. I don't know. I remember they had an app too.
But so this is before the app, bro. This was website only. Had to print it out. They had these different programs, like, Jim Stepani was like the main guy there. It was like, get shredded or get, bulk, whatever. And you print out that workout and you take it to the gym. You have your little clipboard and you write down your weight and you track it. Man, that's old school right there, brother.
Yeah, you lost me.
Yeah, that's almost as old school as MapQuest. Sarah, remember this too?
No,
print out MapQuest.
Oh, no.
And had that turn by turn. Somebody made a meme and was like, man, MapQuest, we used to be running around like pirates with MapQuest.
It's like 10 pages long.
Yeah, yeah. I remember when I first met my wife, I was, I drove to Greenville for the first time and it was at night and I had my MapQuest. I was turning on a little interior light, making sure. But anyway, tracking is important. I got off on the tangent, but tracking is important. Whether it's an app, if you have a notes app on your phone, if you have a tracking app, there's a lot of free ones. There's some that you pay for. But tracking is super important when it comes to progressive overload. So I think, again, we have to take the perspective of somebody outside of our world. When you say overload, people think that that's a negative thing, So what would you say to somebody who's like, am I supposed to be overloading? Like, what's with the term? Like, what do you think about that, E?
All right, so overload... I think overload sounds like it's a far distance from where you're currently at, right? Mm. But overload is literally, even if you do 3 pounds for our circuits, maybe going up to 5 pounds. But this is also done in a safe way. Like, you're not supposed to jump 10, 20, 30 pounds as an overload. That may be what the misconception that people think it is. But for us, it's like, hey, if you do since we're all in premium, if you do a premium circuit with 5 pounds, even if you don't track your weight, like, just imagine there are 50 second rounds and you last maybe 30 seconds and you took a break at 30 seconds. So what about next week? Can you do that same exact workout or that same exact exercise for 35 seconds? That's an overload, whether it's time, whether it's weight. So yeah, I think that's the basic principle or the shortened version of it. So
I like it. I like it. Sarah, you got anything to add to that?
One thing that kind of popped into my head was try not to get stuck on thinking that you have to do a specific number of reps and that's when you can stop. Mm. I hear 12, 12, 12 over and over again. Like, I have to hit 12 and then I can just be done and then rest for a brief time and then start another set. If you can do more, then definitely do more. If you hit 12 to 15, it might be a sign that you need to go up and wait. So sometimes, I've been lifting for a long time. Sometimes I don't even count my reps. So try not to get just stuck on a certain number of reps that you have to do.
That's interesting. So, I mean, I'm going to come back to you on that, because let's say you have 3 sets or whatever, you wouldn't want someone to go to failure though on the first couple of sets, would you? Like, what's just kind of digging into that a little bit? What's your thoughts on that?
I'm all about failure. I like to go. I think I like to go to failure probably a little too much, because then I'm really pushing. I like to push myself hard when I'm working out. But it really depends on what you're doing. I'd say sometimes, when your warm-up sets are really important, you're doing a lower weight, maybe higher rep, just to get the muscles, moving. And then maybe you're going to pyramid up in weight. Maybe you're going to pyramid down. Maybe you're going to do a drop set. There's so many different things you can do. But no, you don't have to go to failure every time. But I would try to, one way you're going to kind of hurt your progress is to always be thinking, I have to do 4 sets and I have to do, 20 reps the first set and then 15 and then 10 and then 8 or whatever those numbers might be. It's a good guideline to go to to refer to at first, but then don't let that be the only thing that you're trying to do. Just hit those specific numbers every single time.
I like it. Okay. I'm glad you followed up on that. Because I remember, I forgot, Michael Jordan's trainer, he would say that whatever number he gave Jordan, he always did at least 1 or 2 more. Like, he's like, are we doing 4 sets of 12? Then he would always do a couple more. I mean, just typical goat action. I love it. All right, so just kind of changing gears a little bit. There's some terms you threw out in your blog. Going back to your blog, man, you talked about hypertrophy. Like what is? Give me some breakdown on that. What is that about?
Oh man, let me pull out my Webster's dictionary. But no, hypertrophy is just I guess growing muscle or addition muscle. So hypertrophy. So it's, if I'm trying to give the exact term, but I can't remember the exact definition, but all it is about growing or building more muscle. So some people think there's a hypertrophy range of that, 8 to 12 range or rep range. So a lot of people think, oh, if I'm lifting an 8 to 12, I'm building muscle, which you should be if you're using the correct weight.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I mean, can't be throwing out terms, man. You got to let us know what that is.
I mean, it's one of those things where we use the terms and we use the terms daily. But then when you have to give the scientific definition, it's like sometimes I get brain fog. So.
Oh, no, it's all good. It's all good. Good deal, man. So kind of turning the corner again, we've talked about muscle building. We dispelled the myths in previous episode. And then with the progressive overload, we're talking about the actual growth process. Is there another method to train? Like, cause I don't know. Like, is there another method outside of progressive overload to get stronger or, build more muscle? I'm just curious. Like, I don't even know. This is off the top of my head. Y'all might not even know either.
I mean, I think there's multiple ways to gain muscle. I think the principal overload is just the apparent weight, because it's the most recognized way, I would have to say. It's just because it's like the only, I guess, the opposite of progressive overload is just going in there doing the same thing every day. Will you get stronger? Yes. But will that weight become easy? Absolutely. So I think that's where that principle comes in.
Yeah, because even progressive overload applies to calisthenics and body weight stuff, because you can do more reps of something. So yeah, okay.
It applies to cardio as well. So it's just like most runners don't just start being good runners, So if I say, hey, I want to run 2 miles, I probably won't start off with 2 miles. I might start off with 1 mile or a half a mile and then progressively overloading that to eventually get to that 2 mile mark.
Like it. Is there anything you want to add to that?
I try to think of progressive overload as just in general terms. It's just trying to better yourself each and every day and each and every workout. Just by trying to do more and push yourself.
Sounds good. All right. So, again, we're getting ready to wrap this episode up. So Eric, that's one of the articles that you have. And there's another one that I don't know, we might do a topic on, but I'm just curious, man, is there anything else that you see in the near future you might be writing about?
I'm going to let the people decide.
Okay.
If they have some information or something they will want to know. Of course, we try to find things where that's Googled a lot or that's asked a lot. Mm-hmm. Because of course we can offer information all day, every day, right? Mm-hmm. But then it's like, what do the people need to know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's most important.
I like it. And before we went live, Sarah was like, let me know, I'll write something too. Cause we want to provide as much many resources as possible. I love podcasts and I watch a podcast all day. Some people like to read, man. I mean, those weird people, they like to read. But no, I mean, if you do, we definitely want that. So that's another thing. If there's a topic that you want us to blog about, put that in the comment section as well. And Sarah can definitely jump in on anything that, she feels passionate about.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
All right, y'all. Well, anything y'all want to say in closing?
If this is a progressive overload episode, hey, get 1% better every day.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Take those before and after pictures so you see those differences that are happening.
There you go. Good stuff, man. Till next time, y'all.